Gnaliel Crade started canvassing his local brethren on his gee-jaw. This grew obnoxious, and when he noticed that we were all glaring at him, he got up and moved to an empty table. I asked Saman if he could pull up any information on the lookout tower map, and he began to view maps and satellite photos on his gee-jaw that were much better than the stored charts on the cartabla. I'd rarely seen anything like these pictures, which must have been very like what the cousins could see of Arb from their ship. This answered a question that had been rattling around in my head since yesterday morning. "Hey," I said, "I think Orlo was looking at such pictures. He put a few up on the wall of his cell."
"It's too bad you didn't tell me that before," said Saman curtly.
Not for the first time I got the feeling that we Avout were children, and the Eta, far from being a subservient caste, were our minders. I was about to apologize. Then I got the feeling that once I started apologizing, I'd never be able to stop. Somehow I managed to arrest my embarrassment before it reached the mud on the head stage. On the Spiele, an old building being blown up, people celebrating. "Okay, well, now that you mention it, Fra Jad went out of his way to make sure I came away with him," I said, and pulled from my shirt pocket the folded-up phototypes of the big hole in the ground. I spread them out on the table. Three heads converged and bent over them. Even Gnaliel Crade, who had taken to pacing back and forth as he yammered on his gee-jaw, slowed down for a look-see, but no light of recognition came into his face.
"That looks like a mine, probably in the tundra," he said, just to be saying something.
"The sun is shining almost straight down into it," I pointed out.
"So?"
"So it can't be at a high latitude." Now it was Crade's turn to be embarrassed. He turned away and pretended to be extremely involved in his gee-jaw conversation. On the Spiele, phototypes of a kidnapped child, blurry footage of the kid being led out of a casino by a man in a big hat. "I was wondering," I said to Saman, "if you could, I don't know, use your gee-jaw to start scanning the globe and look for such features? I know it would be like finding a needle in a haystack, but if we were systematic about it and if we worked in shifts for long enough..." Saman responded to my idea in much the same spirit as I had to Crade's suggestion that this thing was in the tundra. He held his gee-jaw up above the picture and took a phototype of the phototype. Then he spent a few seconds interacting with the machine. Then he showed me what had come up on its screen, a different picture of the same hole in the ground, except now it was a live feed from the reticulum.
"You found it," I said,
because I wanted to go slowly and make sure I understood what was going on.
"A syntactic program available on the reticulum found it,"
he corrected me.
"It turns out to be a long way from here, on an island in the Sea of Seas."
"Can you tell me the name of the island?"
"Ekba."
"Ekba?" I exclaimed. "Is there a way to figure out what it is?" Cord asked. Saman zoomed in, but this was almost unnecessary. Now that I knew it was on Ekba, I was no longer inclined to see this hole as an open-pit mine. It was clearly an excavation. It was completely encircled by mounded-up earth that had been taken out of it, and a ramp spiraled around to its flat bottom. But it was too orderly, too prim for a mine. Its flat bottom was neatly gridded. "It is an archaeological dig," I said, "a huge one." "What's there on Ekba to dig up?" Cord asked.
"I can search for that,"
Saman said, and got ready to do so. "Wait, zoom out. Again. And again," I asked him.